Good morning, Keystone. How are you? Great to see you this morning. Man, we had a great time in the Summerfest parade yesterday. I don't know if you were part of that, but the mean streets of Ankeny are littered with candy today, and we contributed to that. That was a great time. We also want to pray for our student ministry, Will, as he takes a group of students to Colorado for camp. So, man, just a lot of good things going on in the life of our church during these summer months. It's great to see you this morning as we continue in this wise word series in the book of Proverbs. As we begin this morning, I want to ask you, do you remember your last awkward dinner? Your last awkward dinner. Maybe you're like my wife, Jolynn. In her career, she has dinner with people she doesn't know with whom she's building relationships. And maybe your business is like that. You have business dinners where you entertain folks and you don't know them, and it's awkward. Maybe it's just someone you don't know well and you have to carry the conversation, or the conversation drags. You had dinner like that. And maybe it's worse. Maybe they're eating and they have mayonnaise on their cheek or spinach in their teeth. And there you are, you don't know this person, and you're stuck with, do I tell them this? Or do I let them go through the rest of their life with mayonnaise on their cheek or spinach in their teeth? Introverts among us, this is your worst moment, right? It's like dragged through the street behind a car, or this. I'll take dragged through the street. It's the blue and yellow scream emoji, right? The worst thing that could happen to you. It's so awkward. Contrast that with the last relaxing dinner you had with your spouse, with a colleague, or with a friend. It's totally different, right? I mean, you know, some of you here, you're and your spouse, you had dinner out, and you didn't say a word to each other. And it was date night. But it was just so, like, relaxing. Some of you can watch a football game with a friend, hug and high-five the whole time. Or sit with someone and watch a movie and cry together. I was thinking about hunting and fishing trips I've done with friends for an entire day. And I come home and my wife says, "How's so-and-so?" And I'm like, "I have no idea. We were hunting." It's like, are we going to fish or are we going to talk, right? I mean, it's so different. Friendship is awesome. And man, awesome is so much better than awkward, isn't it? Aren't you so thankful for your friends? Friendship isn't easy, though, is it? It's multifaceted. It goes across work and leisure. It goes across our very closest relationships. Marriage, family. So it's multifaceted. It's very broad. Some of us this morning have a lot of friends. We have a lot of friendships. So it's broad. Some of us in this room this morning have narrow friendships. Maybe it's a relationship with one friend that's not necessarily an easy thing. Or maybe you're here this morning and you say, "Friendship is something I desire. I don't have friends. I need to make friends." So friendship isn't easy. Katie McCoy writes, "Our friends inevitably affect our life's direction. Friendship requires nurturing and cultivating. Our friendships inevitably," think about how important that statement is. "Our friends inevitably affect our life's direction." It's true. Proverbs 13:20 says, "Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm." And Proverbs is the lens that we've used in this teaching series. If you're new to Keystone today, maybe it's your first time, we're going to be in the book of Proverbs, and you can kind of turn there. We'll have verses on the screen because we're going to work through the book. But we want to spend time in Proverbs and use that as the lens, as we have in this teaching series, to talk to us about friendship, just as we've done talking about things like motherhood and fatherhood, helping the poor and needy, anger, honesty, all these things we've talked about through the lens of Proverbs. And you received that handout when you came in with some space to take notes there. Maybe you want to do that. Here's a statement I want to make to you, okay? Friendship is fickle or faithful. That's what I think Proverbs teaches us. Friendship can be fickle or it can be faithful. And you're like, fickle, I've never used that word. Well, you're going to learn a new word. Here to please. Fickle or faithful. That among the things that Proverbs says about friendship, that's something it says. Fickle. Fickle means changing frequently, especially as regards to one's loyalties, interests, or affection. So fickle is kind of like blown with the wind. My son's a pretty good musician. Do you ever want to be a musician? Some of you here, maybe this morning, you're like, I want to do that. You saw all these musicians up here, and you're like, I want to do that. And so maybe in your childhood, like me, your past is littered with instruments that you tried to play and gave up on at various stages in your life. Life is like that sometimes. The fruits of fickleness are the neglected musical instruments that are in your closet, or the forsaken treadmill in your basement, or that half-done project in your garage, right? Fickle is changing frequently, especially as regards to one's loyalties, interests, or affection. Fickle or faithful. Well, man, there's a lot more at stake when it comes to friendships, isn't there? When it comes to loyalties that don't remain. When it comes to that kind of change of interests, of affection, there's a lot at stake. So fickle or faithful, I think that's what Proverbs wants to say to us. And with that in mind, I want us to consider together this morning four priorities of faithful friendship. Among the things that Proverbs says to us, I think there are at least four things. There's more, but at least four things that Proverbs says to us about faithful friendship. Let's talk about these this morning. The first one is this: what I give in friendship, what I give is as important as what I get. Okay, that's the first thing I want to say to us about friendship this morning. What I give is as important as what I get. It sounds intuitive. We know that. It's hard though, right? But in friendship, what I give is as important as what I get. This is in all over the Proverbs, 14:20, 19:4. Look at 19:6. Many seek the favor of a generous man, and everyone is a friend to a man who gives free gifts. Many seek the favor of a generous man, and everyone is a friend to a man who gives free gifts. Listen, taking friends, what have you done for me lately, friends? They're easy to find. They're everywhere. Do you notice the words there? Many seek the favor of a generous man. Duh. And everyone is a friend to a man who gives free gifts. I saw that in a parade yesterday. Taking friends are easy friends. Maybe you're new to the Bible. There's a story in the Bible in Luke called the prodigal son. Maybe you know that story. Many of us are very familiar with it. But do you remember that story as it started? When the son gets what he wants from the father, it says in Luke 15, he squandered his wealth with a wild lifestyle. Guess what a wild lifestyle got him? Probably wealth and a wild lifestyle got him lots of friends. And so he squandered his wealth with a wild lifestyle. But then it says this: after he had spent everything, he began to be in need. Many friends come in the wealth and the wild living. Few are in the need. Fickle. So two questions that are pretty simple to flow out of Proverbs 19:6. First question is this: am I a taking friend? In friendship, here's a priority in the Proverbs: what I get is as important as what I give. So, Keystone friend, are you a taking friend or are you a giving friend? Taking friends are easy to find. What have you done for me lately, friends? Everywhere. The man, the woman who gives free gifts, they'll always find friends. I wonder, as I allow the Spirit of God to open my heart to the kind of friend that I am, Do I spend more time as a taking friend or more time as a giving friend? What we give in friendship is as important as what we get. These are the words of Jesus in John 15, 13. Man, you talk about a verse to anchor down on. No one has greater love than this, to lay down his life for his friends. That's Jesus. You a taking friend, you a giving friend. Knowing and following Jesus shows us a better way to faithful, not fickle, friendship. A couple questions for us. In what way do you place unrealistic expectations on your friendships? What you give is important as what you get. So let me ask you this morning, in what ways are you placing unrealistic expectations on your friendships? And again, we said friendship is multifaceted. It affects marriage and colleagues and family. So a question I have for you, as you ask yourself, am I taking or am I giving? What are the unrealistic expectations you're placing on friends or on making friends? What is it that drives you in saying, I want to make friends? Where are you in the taking and the giving? In what ways do I place unrealistic expectations on my friendships or on building friendships? Here's another question by way of application when it comes to giving and getting in friendship. Are there tangible acts of service and sacrifices that I have made for a friend? When was the last time you made a tangible act of sacrifice or service for a friend? It can be small. As I was thinking about this, I kind of went through my phone and looked at the names of people on there, and I thought, who's that person that when I need help, I'm like, I'll call them, right? They'll help me. I wonder, am I that person in somebody else's phone? I'll call Fry. He's kind of goofy, but he'd help me. When was the last time, as a friend, there was some tangible act of service or sacrifice that I made for a friend? Sometimes we got to take in a friendship. I understand that. But the proverb says, this guy who's just giving away the stuff, that guy can find friends anytime. Instead of taking, what are you giving? What am I giving in friendship? Such an important question for us to ask. It seems so simple. But man, sometimes it's important to wake up and say, how can I give in my friendships today? Jesus sets this impossible standard. But in his power, we learn from that. There's no greater gift than a man lays down his life for his friend. In what little ways am I doing tangible things, making sacrifices for friends? By inference, just one more question of application. What am I wrongly willing to give up for friendship? Because let me just talk about the other side of that for a minute. Because maybe you're here and you're like, you'd give away anything for a friend. Like, maybe say, I'm looking for Matt, I take any friend. I will give up anything to have a friend. Remember what the proverb says. The taking friend is an easy friend to find. And so maybe you hear and you have sold blank. I have sold blank for a friendship. What are you willing to give up for a friendship? There's an important lesson in that as well. So when it comes to this thing of faithful and fickle friendship, I think the first lesson we learn is this: what I give is as important as what I get. Knowing and following Jesus shows us a better way to faithful, not fickle, friendship. Secondly, true friends are made for tough times. Let me build on the first one. True friends are made for tough times. Sounds like something you'd buy in a Hobby Lobby plaque, I know. It's true. True friends are made for tough times. 17:17 says this, but look at 18:24, Proverbs 18:24. A man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. That's, when you think about Proverbs, we know That's a proverb we know, isn't it? There's a man who sticks closer than a brother. What a statement. True friends are made for tough times. One commentator notes on this verse, it means they manifest loyalty through commitment in times of trouble. True friends are made for tough times. True friends manifest loyalty through commitment in times of trouble. Faithful friends care as much about what they give as what they get. Faithful friends are made for tough times. This just takes us a little deeper. There's a friend who sticks closer than a brother. I wonder, are we that kind of friend? Some years ago in Pennsylvania, I had a huge maple tree in my backyard that had to come down, taking a tree down. And I had some guys in my church who were capable of doing that. That's a big job, though. I mean, big tree. You don't just go out and start hacking away. And among the things I needed to take that tree down was a bucket truck. You know what I mean? Like a high lift. Like the utility companies own them, right? Like, how many of you have a bucket truck? Like, hey, Fry, you can use my bucket truck anytime. Like, none of us. Imagine that. Wouldn't it be great to be that guy? Think about the options he has. I had a dude in my church, a friend, who said, Fry, you want to use my bucket truck? I'm like, you have a bucket truck? You are awesome. He's like, yeah, man. I know you're taking that tree down and it's dangerous. You need a lift. You need a bucket truck. Amazing. Morning comes of taking the tree down. My friends show up who know what they're doing. And here comes my guy, my bucket truck friend. I will never forget that. You can't just go anywhere to find a bucket truck. Bucket truck needs demand bucket truck friends, right? Some of us this morning in these seats have a smile on our face, and man, there are bucket truck needs in our life. Maybe you say to me, Matt, if you and I sat over a cup of coffee and I spilled out what's going on in my life, man, I need a friend who has a bucket truck, you understand? And not just everybody has those. Are you aware of those friends in your life? True friendship is made for tough times. And it's easy to be fickle and say, well, man, I don't want to get in over my head and I don't want to promise that and I can't be there for this. How easy is it to say that? How many times as a Christian friend have I abandoned somebody like that? Because that's just too much for me. Not my bucket truck. You can't use that. But do we understand that in the body, in our community out there, there are people who have bucket truck problems and they need bucket truck friends to come through for them? Because true friendship is made for tough times. There's a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Think with me to the New Testament for a minute. And maybe some of you are not familiar with the Bible and you're getting exposed to Proverbs and all this. Well, in the New Testament, it's kind of the second part of the Bible. There's this guy who wrote a lot of it, Paul. Many of us know him. His name was originally Saul before he was converted. And he had this conversion to following Jesus that was dramatic. In Acts chapter 9, a book in the Bible, there are many of us know this story where he met Jesus in a dramatic way. He's going this way from God, hating God. I hate you, God. This is Paul. His name's Saul at this point. And he meets Jesus, and Jesus transforms his life and turns him around. And now he starts following Jesus. It's an amazing story, right? Many of us know this story. Here's what Saul needed at the beginning of his life. He needed a bucket truck friend because he's going to walk into the Christians and say, hey, I'm a Christian now. And they're like, yeah, right. You're a murderer. No one's ready to accept this guy. He's got bucket truck problems. What he needs is a bucket truck friend. There's this guy, Barnabas, who steps up. Here's what Acts 9:27 says about their interaction. It says Barnabas, this is so beautiful. It says Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and explained to them how Saul had seen the Lord on the road to Damascus and how he had spoke boldly in the name of Jesus. Barnabas said, dude, you want to borrow my bucket truck? I know you need a friend. I believe what Jesus has done in your life, and this is a tough time, man. You are getting your feet on the ground, and you were going this way, and nobody trusts you, and now you've turned it around. I'm here for you. I will take you. I will explain to them who you are and what Jesus has done for you. Man, Paul had a bucket truck problem, and Barnabas was a bucket truck friend. And some of us, Keystone family, we've got bucket truck stuff going on. And we need bucket truck friends. I wonder, are we there for each other? True friends are made for tough times. A friend in need is a friend indeed. It doesn't say a friend indeed is a friend who doesn't need anything, because that's dumb. And it doesn't rhyme. And it's not biblical. True friends are made for tough times. Knowing and following Jesus shows us a better way to faithful, not fickle, friendship. So look up and look around. Who within your sphere of influence has bucket truck needs? Some of you sitting in your seat today are like, I know who it is. I've just been, it's hard. I don't want to get, you know who it is. What can you do this week to meet a bucket truck need? Think to Jesus. His example of service is what? Washing feet. You ever wash somebody's feet? You sign me up. No. His example of service is washing feet. I wonder, are we willing to get dirty for friends? True friends are made for tough times. Three. Friendship is fragile. Friendship is fragile. 16:28 demonstrates this. Let me read 17:9. Whoever covers an offense seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates close friends. Friendship is a fragile thing. When it comes to the fragility of friendships, let me say this. Are we building frameworks of friendship that protect them from the outside and the inside? Because friendship is fragile. So think about, and again, it's so multifaceted, right? This is in making friends or in a marriage or with colleagues. I wonder, are we building a framework of friendship that protects it from the outside and the inside? All of you people who have phones and you don't have cases, good for you. I am not like you, because I would carry it for a day and drop it and shatter it. And so some of you are like me. Some of you are worse than me. Like, you spent more on your case than you do on your phone. I mean, you got that thing wrapped all around. I mean, you could drop this thing from the moon and it wouldn't break. Because you can't afford that. And so I'm going to spend some money on something that protects it so that no matter where I drop it, I can pick it up and move on. I want to protect it from the inside, and I want to protect it from the outside. And Proverbs tells us friendship is something that's fragile. And when we protect, for instance, in 17:9, when we protect friendship from the inside by covering an offense with love, we also need to protect it from the outside, because when a matter is repeated, that can separate close friends. And maybe that verse just jumps right off the page at you and you say, that's what's happened to me. Something was said and now we are no longer friends, and we didn't protect it from the outside. Or you say, we allowed things to get into our friendship that separated us, and now that friendship is broken. Man, friendship is fragile, isn't it? It's fragile. Build frameworks of friendship that protect it from the outside and from the inside. Remember the illustration I used in the last point? Paul and Barnabas? Didn't that give you a warm feeling? And Paul, this bucket truck guy, he needs a bucket truck friend. Barnabas puts his arm around him, says, I'll vouch for you. I'll take you. I'll show you. I'll believe in you. You got a friend in me. That's a song. Right? Tough friends are made for tough times. Friendship is fragile. In Acts 15:39, a couple chapters later, it says this. Paul and Barnabas had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company. Do you know that was in there? So at the beginning, Barnabas is the bucket truck guy for the friend who has bucket truck needs, and he's there with him, and he's vouching for him, and they're friends, and stick with me. And a couple chapters later, ministry gets busy and thick and heavy, and relationships get strained, and people aren't working on things like they should. And Paul says, we're doing this, and Barnabas says, no, we're not doing that. And they didn't protect it. It seems like they didn't protect the friendship from the inside and the outside. And it says their disagreement was so sharp that they parted ways. If that can happen to Paul and Barnabas, it can happen to Matt Fry. Friendship is fragile. It can happen to me. It can happen to you in your marriage, in your family, with your colleagues. It can happen. Friendship is fragile. One writer says, what happened there, the conflict shows the early church with its warts and all. And it's true. I love that the Bible doesn't hide that from us. Like, Paul and Barnabas were friends forever. Well, they were, but they went through some difficulties because friendship is a fragile thing. Friendship is fragile. That might be tender for you today. Hear me, friends. That might be tender today, especially in light of communion, where we talk about making things right. Friendship is fragile, and perhaps in the power of Jesus, you need to start picking up the pieces of a splintered or shattered friendship. Maybe today, you need to start picking up the pieces of a splintered or a shattered friendship. Knowing what Jesus has done for you, it's time to humble yourself, to forgive, to make the first move, to stop being offended. What is it for me? What is it for you? Where do you need to rebuild or start to protect the framework outside and inside your friendships? Friendships are fragile. Friendships are fragile. Knowing and following Jesus shows us a better way to faithful, not fickle, friendships. Last one, four. I know preachers are only supposed to have 3 points. I have four. It's okay. I checked. Friendship speaks up and shows up. That's the last thing. Friendship speaks up and shows up. This is really in 27. 6, 27, 10. Look at 27, 9. Oil and perfume make the heart glad, and the sweetness of a friend comes from his or her earnest counsel. Oil and perfume, I don't know what the oil's all about. Perfume, though, I know perfume. When I smell my wife's perfume, I'm like, ha, oh, sweet. Having a moment, right? Oil and perfume make the heart glad, and the sweetness of a friend comes from her earnest counsel. True friends show up and they speak up. There's a sweetness in sincere counsel. I thought about it like this. The counsel of a true friend, it warns you and it warms you, right? If you have a true friend here, you've had both of those things, right? And it's sweet. They warn me. Matt, I don't think you should do that. As your friend, I'm telling you. They warn me. Sweet. Hard. Sweet. And then they warm me. I love you, Matt. I care for you, Matt. You can borrow my bucket truck, Matt. The sweetness of earnest counsel. It warns me. True friends are going to tell me things I need to hear that are hard. But it warms me. There's a lesson there because some of us here today, we're really good at warning, but we're not good at warming. Or we're really good at warming, but we're not good at warning, right? The sweetness of earnest counsel does both. Friendships speak up. Second thing is this, when it comes to friends who speak up and show up, there's the sweetness of sincere counsel, but then there's spiritual family. That's the other beautiful thing about friends who show up. One of the values of Keystone Church is we're spiritual family. Proverbs 27:10 says this, better is a neighbor nearby than a brother far away. Spiritual family. Friendship speaks up and shows up. I have people in Iowa now, you know that? I've only been in Iowa like a little over a month. I have people here now. And some of you are like me, you've lived other places. I've lived in Pennsylvania, obviously, and Indiana, and Ohio, and I have people there. If you're ever going through Ohio and you get stuck, call me. I have people there who will help you. They're like, well, we don't know you, but we know Fry, and he's a good guy. What do you need? Some of us are like that, right? We live, or we lived places for shorter periods of time, and when we moved there, we didn't have brothers there. All we had were friends. And I love the Proverbs because it says, true friends show up. But better is the friend nearby than the brother far away. I can't call my brother far away. I have to depend on friends who are here, and I can. Keystone Church. And maybe you're here and you're like, oh man, there's nothing I'd like more than that. Did you know that in a few weeks, connection groups are going to start? And Pastor Todd is working diligently with colleagues here and staff here at Keystone to pave the way for friendships, for friends who will show up. God forbid, maybe there's nobody in your life right now that will show up. Look into that. Become part of spiritual family at Keystone. We need each other. We have each other. Because friendship, godly friendship, speaks up and it shows up. Knowing and following Jesus shows us a better way to be and to become faithful, not fickle friends. I wonder, what are the implications of that for you? Let's pray as we go into communion. God, we thank you for the power of your word and for the friendship of our Savior Jesus. The overwhelming implications of what he said to us, laying down a life for a friend, there is no greater love. Lord, we don't want to be fickle in our friendships. We want to be faithful. I pray by the power of Christ, you would show us how. We ask that in Christ's name, amen. So Jesus' statement that we read earlier was this, no one has greater love than this than to lay down his life for his friends. That's Jesus. And that's not just some moral idea that he sort of ascribed to. Like, you know, Jesus, he said such nice things, right? Such a nice thing Jesus said. Jesus actually laid down his life for me, for you. He did it. His perfect life, so that you and I could have friendship with God. So maybe you're here today and you're challenged to establish or repair a horizontal friendship. Maybe you're here and say, man, Matt, you have exposed my heart today. And horizontally, there are friendships you need to repair. Friend, I would say to you this, that the first thing you need to do is get the vertical relationship with God right. And that comes through the work of Jesus Christ and what he's done to transform you, to transform your friendships. And as we enter into this time of communion, maybe you don't know Jesus, let these elements pass by. And the best you know how in your heart, cry out to God and say, God, I need to get this relationship right first before I can worry about this relationship. And then come see me after. Say, man, I want to know Jesus. If he's a friend that would lay down his life for me, I need to know him. Let's talk about that. Keystone brothers and sisters, Jesus said, we are his friends if we do what he commands, if we love each other. I wonder, how's that going? What does Jesus want to do in your friendships? What gets put on the table today? Pride, unforgiveness, selfishness. Let's allow the Spirit of God to do his work. I'm going to ask the ushers to come and receive and to distribute the bread. As they distribute that, open your heart to God. Ask him what he wants to do. As they distribute, just hold on to that bread and we will take it together in a few moments.